It's kind of nice you get away, but when you get back, it's running here and there. I thought it best that I go see Sister Judy this morning because she was more alert than the last time I talked to her, which it was good because I got to be there when her doctor came in. And she kind of heard a little bit of the sermon because she was asking me a lot of questions. And with that said, let's go to be praying for her. Let's go to Exodus chapter 2. Let's all stand in reverence to God's word. Exodus chapter 2, or you can say the second book of Moses, chapter 2. I did that one time. I told everybody, go to the book of Moses, chapter 2. And of course, I never realized what I said, but everybody pretty much knew where it was at. Verse 1, it says, "And there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi, and the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink." Let's bow. Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the blessings you give us, Lord. We thank you for this time that we come and we open the your word, and Lord, that Lord, you would open our hearts and minds to it, to receive it, and Lord, to use it for your honor and your glory, but also, Lord, that it would give us comfort throughout our lives as we live for you. And we thank you for it. Lord, if there is one that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, Lord, that they would come to know you, that they this morning, or whenever they hear this message on the internet, that Lord, they would realize that they need you in their lives and ask you to save them. And we thank you for it. And these things we ask in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, when you look at this story, it was a situation of a prophecy that had been mentioned in Genesis, I want to say 15, somewhere in there, but that they were going to go into captivity for 400 years. And I'm sure by this time, it had been a long time, a lot of generations had passed, people were no longer there that were involved in that prophecy. Nonetheless, it was still in effect. And I'm sure there was a lot of the Israelites that it seemed that God had forgotten them and that he wasn't doing anything. And so the Jews had prayed and cried out for help. If you look at verse 23 of chapter 2 here, it says, "And it came to pass in process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of their bondage. And they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. And God heard their groanings, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them." So they had, to the point, you know, sometimes we get the same way. We wonder, has God forgotten? Does he remember what's going on in our little world that we live in? Does he remember what's going on in our lives? And we'll cry out for help as they did. And I'm sure they wondered where this deliverance that was prophesied and promised was coming from. You know, when's it coming? But they had forgotten the prophecy. And in Genesis 15, I think the whole chapter pretty much, talks about the time that they're going to be there. And if they had have just paid attention to that. But they don't have the convenience we have. We pick up the Bible, We can read it. We can read God's promises. We can read about how the Lord's going to come back and how the Lord helped all of these people. And it does help us. They didn't have that convenience as we do. But nonetheless, if they'd have just kept that in their mind. But we need to remember what God was doing at that time. God was preparing the Israelites for what was going to happen. God is never, how would I put this? God's never in a hurry. It's on His timing. And time doesn't affect Him. He created time. He lives outside of it. Time to us is big. And I go down to the hospital this morning and I chose to go there and so I skipped Sunday school. And I go down there and I'm in there with Sister Judy talking with her and two of her daughters and so we're all discussing things and we bring up things that you really don't want to talk about. You know, it's not the interesting side of things you like to talk about. And one of those, and be praying with her on this, is the DNR. And so she asked me, what would I do? I said, well, I said, I'm not you, but I said, I'll tell you what I'd do with my mom. My mom and her are the same age. I said, if my mom was in the situation you're in, I would not hesitate. I would tell my mom, have a DNR and have a DNI, I think they call it now. Don't resuscitate me. Don't intubate me. When the time comes, let me go. And so, there are a lot of things, but be praying for her because that is hard decisions. And she's looking to me, she's looking to her daughters, and it's got to be her decision. It's got to be her peace, and she knows. She's ready. She knows the Lord is her Savior, and she knows where she's heading, but it still doesn't make it easy. But God was preparing the Israelites, and He's not going to get in a hurry over it. He's going to do it on His timing. Everything, and God, by the way, has perfect timing. Sometimes we think, God does it, your timing's not working. Listen, it's perfect. It's a perfect timing. Lazarus? His sister sent word to Jesus and said, come, Lazarus is sick and you need to come, because she knew if he showed up, he's going to heal him. And he shows up 4 days late. It wasn't 4 days late. Listen, he was right on time. And he came, he called him out of the tomb. You know what he said? He said, Lazarus, come forth. The reason he didn't say come forth, the whole place had got up. Amen. He got up. And so one of these days, believe it or not, that's where you got to look at the Bible and read. One of these days, the Lord Jesus is going to say, come up hither. Yeah. And we're gone. Amen. There ain't nobody going to stop us. Nothing's going to get in the way. You ain't going to have to worry about a vaccine. You ain't going to have to worry about a mask. You're just going to zoom. Away you go. I get to the hospital this morning. I ain't been in the hospital since all this mess happened. I walk in the door. They've got all these tables set up so you can't get in. They've got security guards. And I'm like, oh, this ain't good. Because I don't like all that. That bothers me. You gotta sign in here. You gotta tell us why you're here. They check you for your temperature, and I'm waiting for them to pull out a stick. Cause I'm gonna be like, nope, I'll call her. you ain't sticking that up my nose. But they didn't. And then, they wouldn't accept my mask. They made me put on their mask, but it was pretty flowers but one of these days, you're not going to have to worry about all that stuff. The Lord's going to call us up and we're going to leave this world and all of these problems that we have. And it's going to be good. And I told Sister Judy, I said, look, I said, you got to plan all this stuff. I said, but hey, we may be raptured today. I said, you never know. And I said, we don't need to worry about it, but we do. But God has perfect timing, and we don't need to get ahead of God with things. That's a dangerous thing to do. Here you've got a woman that, and I preached this, but something else come to mind. I preached this a few years ago, but something else came to mind. The Lord laid something on my heart. I'm laying on the beach. That's funny. I'm laying on the beach and I'm thinking about things back in Nevada. And because that's what you do. You know, you leave it all behind, but you don't leave it all behind because it's all right here. So you're running these things through your head. And I'm thinking about Sister Judy and other people that's been sick. And I'm laying there thinking, and the Lord laid something else on my heart. And we'll get to that in a minute. But she goes out there. This new king of Egypt had made these laws. And he said, every male baby, we're going to get rid of them. And they were having to throw their children into the Nile. And the Nile's full of alligators. No, it ain't crocodiles. Same difference, I think. But they're having to get rid of their children. They're being forced to. And she's like, she has her kid, and it says in here that it's a goodly child. Who in here had any rotten babies, you moms? How many of you looked at them and said, what a rotten kid? Yeah. Everybody's doing this. But you look at them, it doesn't matter how ugly a baby. I've seen some ugly babies. Bless their heart. I've seen some, I'm like, only a mom could love you. seriously. She looked at her baby and she sees something that I believe God put in her heart to see. She realized, I honestly believe, she realized that this just wasn't your average little Hebrew baby. I think she realized that God was going to use him in a mighty way, but she had no idea. She's not going to kill her child. She didn't want to kill her child. She didn't want to get rid of it. And she hangs on to it for as long as she could before it started making rackets. Started getting out of hand. Now she's got to do something. So she builds her little ark and she daubs it all. You know, you want to make it soft. You don't want sticks and junk hanging up. Because the thing is, the baby gets to crying. That's going to attract, you know, you don't want that. And she puts it in the river's brink. You know, we have problems in our life. And I told Sister Judy that this morning, and I've told other people. I said, listen, we got problems in our lives that really get to us. Some things that come about, we don't worry about it. You know, in our daily lives, we wander around. We wonder what God is up to. When you watch the news, you wonder what in the world? Why we got to put up with all this? At any given time, they could shut everything down again. I never thought that possible. But they shut the entire world down. And I don't need to get started on that. But anyway, all over this little bitty thing. And it's killing people. Well, yeah, so does the flu.
That's right.
So does the pneumonia. So does cancer. So does drunk drivers. Listen, drunk drivers are pandemic. But do they outlaw alcohol? No. They're not going to do that. They have their agenda. But we wonder, what is going on? Why isn't God answering prayers? I pray for our nation. I pray for our world. I pray for our local and state governments. I turn on the TV, and every time I look at the news on my phone, there's always something different. We got people that are losing their jobs over this thing. And you're like, Lord, what, you know, have you forgot? And then to add to all that, we got our own little problems, family issues. There's not a soul in this room that doesn't have some sort of family issue.
Amen.
And some of them are not bad. Some of them are medium. Some of them are real bad. We've all got them. We got issues we deal with in our own little minds and our own little hearts, and we let those get to us. Some things we just kind of shove off to the side. That's no big deal. You know, I deal with that. Some of it, we pick up a lot of baggage on our life's journey. You know, as we cruise along, we pick up all this extra baggage along the way. That baggage may be financial burdens. It may be sicknesses. It may be that dreaded word that everybody don't, you know, cancer. Of course, they've forgotten about all that now. It's COVID. But we pick up all these little things along the way. And these things bother us. And some of them, like I said, we discard them as they're not that important. And really, they're not. But then there's certain things that really drag us down. They cause us lots of problems. They cause us... And by the way, we can take a little problem that really isn't that big a deal. But if we're not careful, it can cause us health problems that are just miserable. And that stick with us. You know, we get up one day and we got a problem we didn't have yesterday. And you're like, well, that's age. Well, maybe it is. That is a problem. The longer you're here, the older you get. you run. I'm sitting down there with my in-laws, and I'm looking at most of them, and I'm like, good grief. Man, we're getting old. And we're talking about our children that were 2 and 3 and 4 and tackled each other out in the yard, and now they're 30s and 40s and you're like, ooh, what's that do to you? You're old. You know, I used to take my brother-in-law and my 2 nephews. They'd jump on me and I'd haul them around the yard and sling them around like they were rags. Now they could pick me up and turn me upside down. You know, it's like we have that age problem. And with age, there comes all sort of health issues. But then there's a lot of health issues we give ourselves because we worry over things that we ought not to worry. You know, worry can give you high blood pressure. It can cause heart trouble. They've even linked worry to getting cancer. And I'm like, I don't know how that works, but a lot of that stuff we just bring on ourselves. And it's things we deal with daily, and you're like, wow, what, you know, and then you turn on the news. And you're like, and they want to add to all that, this stuff, and it really gets to you. It's like, what do we do? Where do we go? I will say this. It was really nice. I walked around in Tennessee and I walked around in Georgia and then down in Alabama. No mask. Nobody seemed to care. When you saw somebody with a mask on, you looked and you're like, whoa, what's the matter with him, you know? It was amazing. I'm like, oh, the world still is normal. There's some normal folk. And then I flew into the Atlanta, Georgia airport. And I was the outcast. I'm walking through the airport and people are looking at me like, where's your mind? You know, but anyway, all these situations come across in our lives and they drag us down and they cause us health problems. But a lot of them become stumbling blocks for our Christian life. Every preacher I've talked to, every church I've been to, they all got the same problems. People just aren't coming back. Brother Jim, I don't know what we're going to do. They just decided to stay home and watch it on Facebook. I talked to one guy. He watches it on TV. He said, I'll watch this preacher and then I'll watch this preacher. He said, I'm going to more church now than I ever have. There's a problem with that. Hebrews 10:22-26 tells us why we go to church. You don't go to church because You come in here and the Lord's going to bless you for that. We go to church to be a blessing to someone.
Amen.
And it, really, and people say, well, a lot of the churches are hypocritical now. And I'm like, well, like they've always been. But when I look at it, man, I'm not going to a church and people acting like that. And they don't quite preach like I think. And they don't sing like I think. But when I read about the church at Sardis, the church at Sardis was a church that was falling apart and had a lot of problems. But there were still people in there. The Lord said, you'll walk with me and why? There were still people in those churches still serving the Lord with the right heart, still being what they were supposed to be, doing what they were supposed to do to go to church to encourage other people. That's why they were, that's what we're supposed to do.
Amen.
And so I think to people, and I want to say to people, look, you're going to church for the wrong reason. You're going to church because it makes you feel better. You're going to church because you think that's going to help you when you get to heaven. Or there's another, they made it Sunday. Well, oh, wow. They came to the Sunday night social. We'll mark that one up. That ain't why you're coming. We should be seeking to be a blessing to others and for the Lord to work in our hearts and give us that comfort that we're seeking. Look, that's where you're going to get your comfort at. It's through the Lord's people. It's a hindrance in our prayers when we keep all of these things. All we do, fall on your knees and you pray. And, oh, Lord, look at the mess we're in. We need to get out of this mess. And really, it's selfishness. Well, I'd be saying, Lord, we know you're in control. It's your will. That's what needs to be done. And honestly, if you read the Bible, I ain't into persecution. Who in here likes getting persecuted? I'm not into that. But the Bible says it's going to happen. It says if we live godly in Christ Jesus, we're going to suffer persecution. And I believe we're seeing it. And I think we're going to see a whole lot more the longer the Lord tarries. So really what we've got to do is we've got to do what Jochebed did. That's Moses' mom. We've got to look at the text and what it told us. It says she built a little basket and she coated that little basket down. And she laid her little baby in that basket and she went and laid it in the reeds right there in the edge of the river. And she put it down. But we need to notice something else. This is what really, like I said, I preached on making that basket. Make that mental basket in your mind. Put your problems in it. Put your financial problems in it. Put your children problems, your parent problem, whatever it may be. Put them in that basket. We really need to do that. We really need to get that into our hearts and minds. Make that little basket. Lay those problems in that basket. But we got to do what she did. In the last verse, verse 3, it says, she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. We need to let go of the basket. See, she didn't just put the basket in there. She let go of it. Well, you know what happens? When you let go of something in a river, it's going to go with the current. We need to let go of our baskets. Not only do we need these baskets in our life and we need to put our problems in it, but we need to lay it in the river and then back away. And it says she wanted to see what was going to happen. There ain't nothing wrong with you seeing what's going to happen. We do need to see what's going to happen. We don't need to be, listen, don't put your head in the sand. We need to know what's going on in life. But we got to let it go. Oh, what's that show? Let it go, let it go. Yeah, it's that cartoon. My little granddaughter used to sing that. And she was watching it in her eyes. But honestly, we got to let them go. We got to let the basket go. See, our biggest issue is we hang on to the problem. Because, well, what if God can't quite handle it? Is that what's in our mind? We got a hold of the basket. We do it, Brother Jim. I've made my basket and I padded it all down and I put my problems in the basket. And I set it in the river, just like Jochebed did. I put it in the river. I'm going to let God take care of the problems. But there's one problem. You still hanging on to it. We got to let it. I'm sitting down here in Alabama and I'm thinking, now what if Sister Judy takes the fall for the word? Or what if somebody else is like, listen, what Jochebed did? She gave her all the problem. Her whole problem was her baby. It was a major issue in her life. It was going to cost the baby's life, if she kept it, and probably her life and her husband, and more than likely Aaron and his sister, what was her name? Mary. Probably going to cost them too. She said, well, I've got to give it all to God. I got to. And she did. But she let go of it. And the reason why we know she let go of it is because it went off down the river. And all of a sudden, Pharaoh's wife sees it. And it's a neat story because Pharaoh's daughter sees it, gets to it. Well, of course, the baby cries. You know, the angel was right there with it. And went, ooh. But it didn't cry before. But just as soon as it got close enough, and, oh, what's this? Oh, it's one of the little Hebrew babies. And she picks up the little Hebrew baby. Oh, man, what baby do you ever have that don't get your attention? You know, when Stella first came here, about that baby, now she's a mess. But she had a little smile, and just, it's just something about her little smile. And now they call her the church baby. You know, because she's all over the church. She's everywhere. But you can't turn that down. Man, that little smile when you hit them on the chin up there, you know? That little smile they give you. And then little Gracie, first time I ever walked up to her, she didn't like me at all. Now I tickle her chin and she'll just, oh, she gets this smile and just fills your heart. That's what happened to her. And she took it. Not only did Jochebed get to raise her baby, but she got paid to do it.
Right.
How many of you get paid to raise your own kids? Ah, that'd be a good deal. They cost me. They still cost me. You know, she got the right. You see, God blessed her, not because she put him in the basket, because she gave it to him. She said, here, you take care of it. I can't. You see, that's what we've got to do with our problems, is we've got to put our problems in a basket. And we've all got them. Whether it's the nation problem, the COVID problems, problems in our families, problems in our own lives, whatever it may be, we've got to put it in there, but then we've got to let it go. Because if we don't let it go, we're not truly trusting God.
Amen.
We're not giving Him the trust that we should be.
Amen.
And then it makes it hard to trust anything else He tells you. Because listen, if you can't trust God with your problems, how in the world can you trust it when it says in there that He's going to come back and get us? It really? Well, yeah, He's coming back. Oh, but I better hang on to that one. No. We give it all to Him, and it makes it a whole lot easier to say, well, He said He's coming back. I believe it. We got to cast all our care upon Him. 1 Peter 5:7, I think. Cast all your care upon Him because it says He cares for you. Listen, if He didn't care for you, He wouldn't have sent His Son Jesus to die on the cross for you. You see, we forget. We look at that situation and we say, well, you know, I don't know. The devil makes you doubt. Does He really care for you? How many of you were here when Jesus hung on a cross? He did it for you before you ever became into existence. Matter of fact, if you study the Word of God, you'll find out that it was a plan before the foundations of the earth. So God already knew that whenever He created the world, whenever He created mankind, that He was going to have to give His Son for their stupidity. Yeah. Would you be willing to give Him for other people's stupidity? You don't have to answer that. You had that look the same I had. It's like, really? But that's what He did. He gave His Son for our problems, to correct them. You know, that's love. We're not even sure what kind of love that is. We want to say we have that. We're supposed to have that unconditional love for our spouses, but do we? Especially husbands. Husbands are supposed to have agape love for their wife, just like Jesus has for the church. Just like He has for all the people in the world. He's got an unconditional love for them. But we've got to ask ourselves, do we really have that? That ain't an easy love to have. You know, when you read the account of Peter, me and my brother-in-law was talking about that. And Peter denied the Lord Jesus Christ 3 times. 3 times before he heard the rooster crow. 3 times he denied the Lord. And then when the Lord came and sought him, and by the way, Peter didn't go seek for the Lord. Peter's standing around and he says, I'm going to fish. In other words, I'm done with this. I'm tired of waiting on love. I'm going back to what I know. What I'm comfortable with. He goes out and he's fishing. The Lord shows up on the bank and says, hey, you got any fish? No, we got nothing. We'll put your net on the other side. That triggered something with John. John says, oh, I've heard that. And they got all these fish. He says, it's the Lord, by the way, Peter. Peter swam. Did you notice Peter swam to shore? But when he got there, has the Lord ever irritated him? He irritated Peter. He said, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? And Peter finally was like, Lord, you know I love you. But here's the problem. See, the Lord asked him, he said, do you agape me? Do you have that unconditional love, Peter? Peter said, well, I love you like a brother. Well, Peter, do you have agape for me? Well, Lord, I have phileo. And then the Lord said, Peter, do you phileo me? He said, you know I do, Lord. We see in Peter's life later that he had agape love. He laid his life down. Tradition says his wife went before him. They crucified her and they crucified him. You see, the Lord seeks us out and He helps us through life. But we just got to hand it to Him. See, Peter hadn't handed it all to Him yet. Abraham hadn't handed it all to Him. But we've been studying about Abraham, but he hadn't given it all to Him yet. I believe he did when he walked up on Mount Moriah with his son. And was going to sacrifice him for the Lord. He was giving it all. See, that's where the Lord wants. The Lord wants us to give it all to Him and to let it go.
See, we've got to let go of our basket. Make your basket, put your problems in it, but you got to let go of your basket. Because if we don't, the Lord can't work with it. He cannot work with it. We're hindering it. You know, you can hinder the Lord. That's amazing. I don't have the ability, the strength to get rid of my salvation. I got saved, and I'm saved from now until the Lord takes me home. And I'm worried about it.
Amen.
I can't get, but I can hinder what the Lord does in my life by not allowing Him to take it. And you got it. I'll leave it with you, Jesus. Well, no, we got to let it go. See, that's what Jochebed did. If she had stayed right there in the river with it, it had never made it down to Pharaoh's daughter. She had to say, okay, Lord. Do you think she wanted to? I don't. I say that was the hardest thing that woman ever done in her life, was to go. But she did. You say, well, I don't know if I got that. Listen, the Lord give you what you need. He said it. He said, when we're weak, He shows up.
Praise God.
I do. I praise God for that. Because there's a lot of times that I'm like, and I don't know if I can do that. Lord, I don't know if I can let it go. But you got to. When you do, He gives you that peace that He, I'll take care of it. You know, I think one of our biggest problems, we don't think it'll turn out like we want it to. It may not be what we need. The Lord knows your needs. You got to think on parity. My kids have wanted things in their lives, and I'm like, nope, you ain't getting it. Because I knew what was coming. There's other things, though, that was like, yeah, you can have that. We need to make that understanding in our hearts and our minds that the Lord knows what's best for us, because I don't know what's out the door tomorrow. I got plans to be here tonight at 6, but I may not. Sister Judy says, well, I want you to preach my funeral for me if that comes. And I said, well, that's a good way to look at it, if that comes. Because we may all get raptured before that. One of her daughters said, do you have a backup if you ain't around? I'm like, well, technically I could die before she does. I said, yeah, we've got all that worked out. We talked about all that. Because, listen, we never know. We got to put it all in the basket and let it go. And God takes care of everything from there. Let's stand.
Every head bowed, every eye closed. Sister Diane's going to come up. We're going to have an invitation.